Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Things that God puts into our life that we don't deserve. And there are many, many things He puts into our life that we don't deserve. Thankful for the grace of God this morning. I'm thankful for Brother J.C. House, for his wife, Miss Wanda. What a blessing they are to us and have been over the years. And Brother House has been preaching our stewardship conference. This will be his 19th year, as far as I know. I appreciate him and his testimony and his friendship. And I like his attitude, too. So, anyway. Brother House, come on and preach to us. All the way from Joshua, Texas.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. A note from the sound man in the sound booth. He said, if anything went wrong, it would be my fault. He's just that way. So check with me after the service, and I'll tell you about the sound man. That's not sound at all. Making a difference. I believe Jude said they had to have compassion to do that. And having compassion, let us make a difference. And then the next verse gets a little more personal. You and I are to be snatching them from the flame. Well, I'm so glad you're here, and Wanda and I are glad to be back. It's just one of our favorite places to be. I don't get this kind of abuse anywhere else. So the last time I was here, it was announced that I was dead. That was 2 months ago in the fellowship meeting, while I was sitting right back on the back there. And so I'm glad to report that that was in error. Stewardship. Somebody thinks, you know, it's going to be about money. Well, we'll probably work around to that. But I think sometimes when you and I think about being stewards, we start a little too far down into the teaching. And I want us today to look at this subject, the stewardship of all, A-L-L, all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll open your Bible there for our text verse, I'll refer to it in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, in the Word of God, and that's really all that matters, in the Word of God, sometimes God chooses some very small words to teach some very large, great truths. Now, I know that He's not limited in verbiage, and so it would pay us some time to examine these things and see how He expresses His thoughts and how it seems like from the human side He's searching for that perfect word of description. Little tiny words usually do it. For instance, when it comes to His love for man, how do He express that? For God, so. Two little letters, so loved. You can't define that. You can't corner that up. You can't put it in a box. It goes beyond all measure. God so loved. And because He so loved us, He talks about what's made available to us. And He describes it this way in Hebrews 2:3. He says, now, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And there are no boundaries on that. From the moment you are saved, you are in a position to be constantly enlarging your spirituality and becoming every day more like Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. So loved and so great. But there's another little word. And because of some of its connection, just some of it, we sort of overlook them sometime. If you look in your Bible, chapter 9, verse 8, we're going to find this little word. And God is able to make all, A-L-L. He's really going for the big, difficult things to understand now. All grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good works. And there, with that word all, God pretty well describes our position and our ability as Christians to be what He would have us to be. You know, there are so many needs in this life, and there are only one source for each one of them, and that is God. And He is all in all. So if we're going to be proper stewards, then we probably need to study that word all for a while. And I really hope you'll stay with me on purpose. And when I start off, all the Bible scholars are going to say this doesn't have anything to do with stewardship, and I'm going to stand my ground and say it has everything to do with stewardship. So let's note, if you would now, the stewarding of our soul. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, very familiar, listen to this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Now that's the best one in the building. You're a sinner. That's for the worst one in the building. You're a sinner. As for the preacher, the evangelist, the singer, well, the singer's a double sinner. Just all have sinned. See, we get in church, and that's for the world. That's for the missionaries. Never for us. No. It's for all have sinned, you see. None, not a one, have ever been free from sin in the natural sense. We're born sinners, and there are nothing but sinners in the church house today. There are saved sinners, and the ones I'm interested in right now are the lost sinners, the ones who've never, ever been born again. You say, well, I'm not sure that I understand all of this. Well, Isaiah 53:6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, I'm not sure I understand. Well, Romans 3:11 and 12, there's none that understand it. You're not in the boat alone. This is not something you need to understand. It's something you need to believe. Some folks have a hard time believing they're sinners. Some folks think the whole idea is to be good enough so that God will let them into heaven, so they can work their way to heaven. No, there are none. They've all gone out of the way. They've become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Before you'll ever be a good steward, you're going to have to deal with the sin problem. You say, well, man, I'm a church member. Oh, it's real easy to be a church member without being saved. It really is. I mean, our churches are loaded up with unsaved members. Good people, good people. You know, they're not on some espionage effort. They're good people. Just never been saved. So how did they get into church? Well, probably as a young person, probably. Maybe even as an old person. Some friend told you, you know, you need to get in church. You need to be in church. So you knew you needed something, right? That's why we're here today, right?
Amen.
We know we needed something. And so you start going to church, and you go for a while, and you see folks going down, and you go down as a young person maybe, and somebody talks to you, and you do what they say, and you say some words, and you get baptized, and you're a member of the church. You get to be 18 years old, graduate from high school, and from the church. You're gone. Don't see you anymore. A few years pass, 10, 7, 12, and things just don't seem to be going well. Everything's going down. And somebody you know talks about the church. And you get to think, you know, I need to get back in church. And so you find a church somewhere where you can tolerate the preacher and the singing and the people. And you visit a while and you decide this is what you want. And so you come down and to join the church. And they ask you, well, now, where's your church membership? And you tell them. And they write it down. And somehow they forget to ask you about when were you saved and do you know for sure if you died you'd go to heaven. And so now you're in a new church, lost. And they're everywhere. And that's, you should not be offended at that. You ought to be glad somebody's saying to you, you need to be born again. You need to be saved before you go any further. You know, you could be running a bus and be lost, teaching a class and be lost. Sing in the choir and be lost. And we need to deal with that. See, Romans 2:1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. There's no excuse for someone walking out these back doors lost today. All have sinned. God didn't die for a special class of sinners. He died for all. Let's look at a second thing now, not only the stewarding of our soul, but the stewarding of our choice. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 are absolutely marvelous. Listen, there's some all here. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Listen carefully now. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Not just for the preacher. Not just for the godly woman or man. But no, he ransomed for all to be testified in due time. So we just need to get it straight. Now, he paid our ransom. See, we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And we need to understand, Jesus paid the price our sin demanded. He was our substitute. See, someone said, well, what were those wages? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And Christ died so that we could live, you see. Because James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's where every person outside of salvation in Jesus Christ is headed, eternal death in the fires of hell. I'm thankful for those last words, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, you know, if you're here this morning and you're just kind of hard-headed, if you want to burn in hell, you can. But if you'll steward the choice and make the right choice, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything in order to go to hell. You're born headed that way. You don't have to do anything in order to go to heaven other than repent of your lifestyle, the way you live, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. It's a simple choice that we make, you see, and we need to understand that. If you're lost, Christ is seeking you. You didn't come here seeking Him. I don't know why you're here, but you didn't come seeking Him. There are none that seeketh after Him, none. Not any at all. But Jesus said, "You come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now, when we stewardship our soul properly, and we just realize we're lost if we have not personally received Christ. Doesn't matter how old we are, young we are, rich we are, how poor we are, lost without Christ. Number two, Christ paid the ransom for us all. Stewards of choice, make the right choice. That then brings us to a third thought, and that is the stewarding of all things. The stewarding of all things. See, I think here's where I have a tendency to miss it sometime. All those wonderful promises of what God will do for a saint don't work out well in a lost person's life. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the lost are reaping to the flesh. So I think we have to come to this position. I've recognized I'm a lost person. Wherever you are, in this room today, never had a personal experience with Christ, you are lost. But you don't have to stay lost. Christ paid the ransom for us all. Nobody's left out of that. If you want it, it's there for you. And you make the right choice. We are then in a position to talk about the stewarding of all things. Once we are saved, there's a wonderful change of position. There's a change of ownership. We once belonged to the devil, we now belong to God. And some amazing things happen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, some very interesting words. Now, I want you to listen carefully. What shall we say then to these things? This is a Christian speaking, God's inspired word. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, that's the word of God. That's either true or it's not. And I declare to you it's true. But it's not true for everybody. It's true for the Christian who's stewarding his choices now and making the right choice. And then, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, only God could love sinners so much that he would give his only begotten son. Only God. You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But God did, you see. Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Everything we need, all things, everything we need to glorify God, come to the believer who puts his life in the hands of Christ. It's an amazing thing, you see. And that's where our text verse comes in. I really shouldn't read it until I get here. But this is where all the alls of verse 8, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians come in. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All grace, all strength, all courage, all things. But my God shall supply all your need. And we have folks in the world today struggle to make ends meet. And it ought not be that way. See, you need to decide what you need today. And you need to be honest about it. See, if you're sitting here today and you're not absolutely 100% sure that heaven would be your home if you died, there's just one thing you need. There's only one thing you need, and that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do that. You say, but I don't know how. We're going to have an invitation in a little while, and you're going to be invited to come down here, and there are going to be counselors here who will take a Bible and show you very simply and very quickly and very lovingly how you can receive Jesus Christ. There won't be any strings attached. No gimmicks, no jokes. It's just a fact that Christ died for us. See, once we realize we're sinners, condemned to hell, we repent of that condition, we're willing to receive Christ as the full ransom, we have then moved into that area of all need supplied. Right. And so, see, actually, there is a law that goes into effect. And see, God is a God of law and order. Not the Old West kind, but when God created this world, he established a set of laws by which it's to be operated. One of them is found in Luke 6:38. Listen to it. This law goes into effect for saved people. Give, and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you measure withal, you measure withal, it shall be measured to you. It's just a simple law of God. See? So that little word, all have sinned. All. I sat here and looked into the eyes of sinners. All. The sad part is all are not saved, although the penalty has been paid for all. All have sinned. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And then how shall he not with him also give thee freely all things? See, the all things come with Christ. And we need to understand that, and we need to pay a little more attention to that and work from there. There's another all that we who are recipients of grace need to attend to. Matter of fact, there's several, but I'm just going to get this one because this one has to do with what you're doing all this week. Now, we've got the promise of all sufficiency in all things, so we may abound to every good work. Now, listen to Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do, it's going to get pretty narrow now for a minute or two. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all, A-L-L, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. Do you know what the Christian's business in this world is? To bring glory to God. Someone said, I'm not equipped for that. God equipped you for it. It's a promise, you see. All grace that you may abound to every good work. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Christ. I just wonder if there won't be a lot of things done this coming week, but just some of us in this building that won't bring glory to God, that you don't want Jesus' name associated with it. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. Amazing. See, we have that so great salvation. That's free. No charge. No strings. Salvation in Christ is free. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But after we get saved, we find out the Bible says we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we're to be busy doing the things of God. Now, totally all free, this gift of salvation. But the rewards for the Christian, they're based on the deeds done in the body, what we do after we're saved. And so if we put all those alls together and we think about them, all have sinned. Jesus paid ransom for us all. And how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And then we're to, whatever we do, we're to do in his name, all things. I want to let the Bible summarize it, and I'm done. I want to give you a verse. It's a wonderful verse. We use it for youth. I think old folks should do good with it too. Listen now to this simple conclusion. Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 13, verse 14. Now you know the story here of this wise man. He tried everything. He sought everything the world had to bring him peace and joy and satisfaction. And he declared all is vanity. It's all vanity. There's nothing to it. And then you come down to these words from him. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I like it when somebody speaks plain, don't you? He said, now let me make this where you can understand it. The conclusion of the whole matter, from Genesis to Revelation, the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Watch now, for God shall bring every work into judgment, every work, all the work, and with every secret thing, all of them, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Notice, coming into judgment, all things, good or evil. So what must we do? Fear God and keep his commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? Be saved. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, or vice versa, whichever way you want it. And we need to stop this foolishness of going to church without knowing for sure that Christ is our Savior. You need to be saved. And this is the place for it to happen. I want you to bow your head, please. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Someone says, you don't know what I've done. Nope. Don't know? Don't need to know. We're going to sing a song in just a minute. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song that says, "Just as I am, without one plea." Just as you are, Jesus will take you and convert you. I don't know a lot of people here, a lot of new people. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know you're right. And I'm not a fool, and I don't want to go to hell. But the simple truth is, I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. And I want to know that, and if I could know that, I'd do it. And I need you to pray for me." Anyone in the room like that? Not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. You're concerned about that. You just slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Everyone knows for a fact that if you died right now, heaven would be your home. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. If you don't know that, you need to come this morning. Just step out and make your way down here. Preachers here, counselors will be here. Now for we who are saved and sure of it, that wonderful command, fear God and keep His commandments, to be a steward of all things, whatsoever you do. Too many of us part-timers. It's all things. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There needs to be an old-fashioned moving of God's people this morning to find an altar and simply make the conclusion, this is it. Fear God. Keep His commandments. See, the folks sitting here now have no plan to be back tonight. You need to make a change right now. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here for our friends. And I pray now your will could be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.